dream, Hawkeye. Welcome.
I wasn't expecting that to happen.
Yeah, that's the point.
You didn't even give me a heads up.
Why would I?
That's okay. You know what? It's fine. Everything's fine.
I'm glad you've forgiven me. Thank you, everybody, for showing up here on the day of Hawkeye the Fifth's birth to discuss this episode entitled Ronin, but I will be referring to it as Hawkeye 5, The Lion, the Witch, and the Hawkeye. And this episode, get right into it, I thought was the best of the series.
Yeah, 100%.
I, again, for context, have an inherently negative vibe on this entire show. I don't like Hawkeye as a character. I don't like... That's not... I take that back. I don't like Jeremy Renner as an actor, and he makes Hawkeye suck. And, by the way, it falls into the same thing I always discuss, and it's honestly getting... When I start saying it, I kind of feel like I wish I was melting and dead and you didn't have to listen to me anymore, because I'm so over it. But in a world where Celestials are burning the universe down, who gives a shit about the bow guy is a feeling that I have on a constant basis.
Fair enough, but honestly, Hawkeye... Yeah, he's the lamest. He's the lamest character for sure. But I think it brings a little bit of normalcy into an otherwise insanely erratic world.
Yes.
Where, you know, Celestials are exploding Earths to be born. When I want to see what like a normal person would be dealing with, who has extremely powerful aim. But one thing in this episode that I who can flick a coin and shut off a TV?
Man, oh my god, the gods are coming. Bing, 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 bing.
One thing that I really did like about this episode is it wasn't like chock full with a ton of like quippy action. You know, it was a lot of story building. And Florence Pugh's character, when she was a widow, like Florence Pugh, when she sprayed the red mist on that lady in the beginning of the show, this is the first time we actually saw in real time what someone got snapped.
Oh,
experience.
It was awesome. Also,
which
by the way, I'm Ryan.
Wasn't
That's
seeing that.
Adam, coming. Chad's not here.
Yeah, I'm
James.
Adam.
Will be here.
Chad's
later.
Not here.
Yeah,
he's coming later.
James will come later. Chad's not here, but we're here.
But that's the first.
Yes, the intro was so good.
But that's the first time. It was so good because I didn't see it coming, and then all of a sudden she was dust, and she turned back from dust. I'm like, oh, fuck. And then the walls started changing, and like everything was different. I was like, so that's what they experienced, because we know it was like pretty quick for them, but now we know it literally was real time for them, which I thought was interesting. I like that they put that in here.
Yeah, I thought... As it was happening that she was on like a weird acid trip, like she had been poisoned and was going through some shit. But then she walks out and her friend is like, oh my God, I got married and we just adopted.
Right.
And Florence Pugh was like, can you shut the fuck up? Shush.
This was 5 seconds ago.
This is 5 seconds. My brain is not going well. Also, where's my sister? And then the other one, the woman's like, I don't know if I want to be the one to tell you, but she jumped off a space rocket. She is dead. Although
supposedly killed by Hawkeye.
Yeah, as we learn later, that is the understanding of at least her, so most likely more people, that Hawkeye, or Ronin, as he would be called, murdered her. But let's talk about like the four things that happened total in this episode. One, so Kate Bishop goes home at the beginning, has a emotional conversation with her mother about not being a superhero anymore. Her mother kind of having like dead eyes, fully affirming that she is definitely going to be the bad guy. And then Kate was like, oh, wait, by the way, your stepdaddy, or our stepdaddy, the new dad, Swordman, stepdaddy Swordman, he's running this shell corporation and you should look into it. And then her mother makes the face of like, Oh, fuck.
Actually, I gotta put him in jail now.
Yeah, and frame him. Like, he literally, she does call the police. He gets taken away by the said police. And he's like, I'm being framed. And she doesn't say it out loud, but her face screams, yeah, I'm the one doing it to you.
Now, do you think that it is truly her framing him, or are they in cahoots together?
Oh,
do you
no.
think he knows?
Nah.
You don't think he knows?
Nah, I don't think he knows shit.
No. I know we talked about that before, like he may not know and he is that red herring, but
I think he's just like a guy who twiddles like his swords. Mustache and he loves his swords. I think
yeah,
that's pretty much it.
I suppose we'll find out. We'll find out next week.
I think Kate Bishop's mom stabbed her boyfriend's dad and then just framed him. And it's just using him as a fall guy. Anyway, Kate Bishop then calls Clint up and it's just like, hey, man, come on, pick up. But he doesn't. Clint then goes and visits one of the cops he met at the LARPing event. And he gets to have like a nice little nap there. And then we have, if the intro scene wasn't the best of this episode, which I think it was, the second best scene, I think, was this one. The one in which Hawkeye passes the Bechdel test with Florence Pugh and Kate Bishop talking to each other about their feelings, mostly about mac and cheese and New York City.
I like that scene too.
And how Hawkeye is... Florence Pugh makes a very good point. She, Kate Bishop's like, no, he's a good guy. And Florence Pugh is like, how long have you known him? A week? The fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't know them. You don't know what his innermost desires are.
Or how many people he's murdered.
He's murdered so many people.
So many of them. But also, Florence Pugh is under the false pretense that Clint Barton killed her sister, which we know didn't happen because we were there.
Right. So in that regard, Kate Bishop is not wrong.
Right.
I also like that Florence Pugh says Kate Bishop all the time. She uses her full name, and it's very intentionally to one up her. Like, I know your name, you don't know mine.
Yes, I know everything about you. But also, like you just said, I think it is also a testament to Kate Bishop's gut instinct, which is pretty good, to understand that Clint Barton on the inside is a quote unquote good guy with a lot of blood on his hands, and those two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. But it is in a very odd world where they can live amongst each other. For those two things to both be true, a lot of extenuating circumstances have to occur, and a very specific Avenger has to be involved.
Everyone handles the blip in a different way.
You're not wrong.
I killed millions of people.
I got into eating Cracker Jacks and collecting what's on the bottom of them, also stabbing people. Both those things are equally as important.
Using super glue to heal my wounds.
Yeah.
Adam went to Wisconsin and started murdering people as a serial killer.
I killed five people and everyone knows their names.
So they discuss how Kate Bishop can't kill her, although I bet it would be a decent fight. And Florence Pugh is then like, okay, well then don't get in my way again or I will kill you, because I'm continuing to try to murder Hawkeye for somebody. It's your mom.
Yeah.
And
it's your mom.
It's your mommy who wants me to do this. And then Hawkeye calls his wife and tells her, hey man, this is going very badly. He then meets up with Echo after taking out her entire crew, dressed as Ronin. Amazing. And he's like,
I loved that scene too.
Yeah. He's like, leave me alone. Stop it. Also, by the way, there's a mole and it's Budget Kit Harington, so you should talk to him.
When I watched that scene and they were signing to each other, like she said to him, why weren't you at the meeting that decided to kill my father? Like, because she knew that he worked for him, right? Or worked for Kingpin. Like, why weren't you there? And he said, I don't know. I never got the call. Now, at face value, I was like, oh, he's lying.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it more and I'm like, maybe he's not lying and he actually wasn't called because he was friendly with her, and it was like plausible deniability kind of.
Yeah. I think either way, It could be a red herring and he might not be the mole, but he probably is. And he is, you know, looking after Maya for Kingpin. Like, I assume Kingpin will be like, did what I told him to do. I couldn't trust you, you know, because I wanted your dad dead. And then he is dead. So if you ever figured that out, you wouldn't be very useful to me. I'm Vincent D'Onofrio.
I'm Vincent D'Onofrio.
So after this, Kate Bishop and Clint get back together. And what happens here? What the fuck happens? Do you remember what happens?
So she fires an arrow. It knocks the sword out of Echo's hands when she's about to stab him on the ground. She looks up, sees Kate, looks back. Ronan's gone. And then she takes off on the bike saying, he got away.
All I know is that it ends with Kate Bishop getting a text message from Florence Peak where she's like, hey, by the way, your mom's the one who is having me kill Hawkeye. And here's a picture of your mom standing next to Kingpin, Vincent D'Onofrio. So,
they go back to the apartment. That's what it was. They go back to the apartment and the dog learned tricks. Do you remember that?
No.
What? You don't remember that?
Nah.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even press 10 seconds ahead in this part. I was just, I suppose, happy that it was almost ending.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, you just conjured that the dog learned tricks?
No. They definitely were in the apartment with the cop LARPer guy, and he taught the one-eyed dog how to, like, dance, and then Kate tried to get it to do the same thing, and it wouldn't.
God, did I black out for this part?
You must have been.
That's pretty sweet. I'm glad I did. I need to go see a neurologist. Anyway.
Oh, they took a ride share. They took, like, an Uber, remember? They took, like, an Uber.
I remember that part, yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is great.
And then she talks to him in the car. She talks to him in the car saying that she saw Yelena again and didn't know that it was actually Natasha's sister. And Clint was like, oh, yeah, that's we know. I know who she is.
I know who she is. And if she's the one coming after me, that is a huge bummer. Makes things much more complicated. And that is where we are left off. In the penultimate episode, preparing ourselves for the very quick season finale. Only 6 episodes long, so we're already here. It's over.
It's insane. I can't believe it. It's already done. Is this the shortest Marvel show? It's gotta be.
I believe it is. And also, it's like only 38, 37 minutes an episode, too. So,
yeah,
again, I think for a show that I don't generally enjoy, it was the best episode of it by far. It had 2 of the best scenes in the entire show in one episode. Kate Bishop and Florence Pugh, plus Florence Pugh disappearing in the first scene. Notice that both of those scenes have something in common, and it's that Jeremy Renner's not in them. In fact, the part where Jeremy Renner was standing in front of the sign and being like, Natasha.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
I need you now. I'm sorry for what I'm about to do. Like, oh, my God.
I like the, aside from Jeremy Renner giving that wonderful Oscar award winning performance, I liked that around New York City, they have like monuments to the Avengers Battle of New York.
Well, yeah, like, I thought that makes a lot of sense.
Like that's the bridge that that the scene in Avengers did that big tracking rolling shot around them. And they were all like loading their guns or touching their shield or whatever. Remember that?
Yeah. They touched their shield. It was so hot.
Yeah. It was so fucking hot, dude. But that was, they were on that bridge there, and that's where I thought that was just cool. I like that continuity.
That makes a lot of sense. Just because, you know, they saved everybody and everybody would be dead otherwise. Also, I don't understand why, like, people keep bringing up to Kate Bishop, hey, what's your deal with Hawkeye? Like, why are you so into this dude? And she hasn't once said, been like, oh, I'd be dead. I'd be dead if it wasn't for him.
Yeah, right. I know. Why should she say that? Like, he literally saved me.
I don't understand. I just don't. So we're 1 minute away from getting into the Christmas bingo card, the Christmas song bingo card. And in that minute, I will say this thing right now. I'm watching Yellow Jackets on Showtime, and it's better than this show. Sammy.
What the hell is that?
Sammy?
It's like you wait for me to
get all the way to the door. I couldn't even hear you leaving. You were like a spider. Sammy, can you tell everybody what you feel about Yellow Jackets?
I really like it. In fact, I wish I could watch the 5th episode right now, but instead I can't because Ryan's recording a podcast.
I'm going to be done in literally 3 minutes.
Do you have to go to work?
Do you want to wait?
I have to go to work.
So you have to do that. It's not my podcast thing because I'm going to be done in 3 minutes.
I watched it from the hours of 9 to 10.
Give me...
Anyways, yeah, it's good. I like it.
Yeah, it is really good.
Give me a 2 to 5 sentence...
Oh, what is Yellow Jackets?
Review. Yeah, and what it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I've never heard
of
this.
Do you want to explain what Yellow Jackets is?
Yeah. It's like a documentary. It's actually...
It's not. It's not what it is. People have...
It's narrated by Gilbert Gottfried. And he just like kind of is like telling you about it's the difference between a hornet and a yellow jacket.
You know what's weird about it? He doesn't do his regular voice. He does like a Gilbert Gottfried, his normal voice. He doesn't do like the Iago voice at all. You wouldn't even know.
I know.
Him.
I was thinking Iago.
And actually, so he's been beekeeping for years now. And he's just like gotten really interested in like the environmental effect of yellow jackets. And so it's been really interesting. I didn't know like anything about this. And so
Al Gore's cameo is pretty good.
Yeah. And actually, it was Justin.
I just pulled up the premise. So
it was Kristen who told us to watch it.
So. That is true.
Props to Kristen.
Adam in the middle of this is like, I've pulled up the synopsis. This is not what it is.
Props to Kristen. Love you, different. Kristen. Know you're listening.
Yeah, Kristen is not listening to this.
Their series chronicles their descent into madness and cannibalism while also tracking their current lives in 2021.
I'm going to say it now for real. Okay, this is what's up.
Okay, go ahead.
It is 1996. A New Jersey-based high school women's soccer team are the state champions. They are going to nationals on a plane that goes down in the deep wilderness. They're flying to Seattle, so it's somewhere in the middle of America. And they are out there for 19 months and have to get into some pretty raunchy shit to survive. And it goes back and forth between them in the woods and the people that we know have survived in the future 20 years later when some shit comes back to haunt them from their time in the woods. And it is great. Anyway, you should watch it. I just got a free trial to Showtime.
Yeah, I think my dad has Showtime, so I might just kind of siphon off of him.
You should siphon.
Sounds neat.
Okay, let's go over to Christmas. Quick cut Christmas to the songs. Past when we recorded this, but now it's going to feel like the future. There's the power of editing.
It's like he's right here, James.
And now to wrap up the show after that incredibly lively discussion in which Adam came out and told everybody that he murdered 5 people in Wisconsin last year, which was, I think, pretty forward.
And everyone knows their names, too. I don't know why I did that.
Anyway, James is now here in a effort to go over the Christmas bingo board, which I saw earlier, and I'm not excited about. James?
So it was another terrible episode for Christmas music, just really mining these songs that no one has ever heard of. A Letter to Santa. And then December the 24th. Again, just songs that I've never heard of before. A few ones that... not on the list, but I do like Christmas Time Is Here was in there.
How was that not on the
list? That's quality.
Well, the list was already really long. It could have gone on forever.
Fair.
It was 35 songs, not comprehensive, Adam.
Yeah,
okay?
fair.
You didn't gamify this show.
You know what? Okay? I'm just upset that I didn't even get to choose mine.
And then...
Well, you should have been there.
Well,
true. You should have been there and not playing Planet Zoo.
Right. I was not playing Planet Zoo!
In terms of the betting board... Chad's reign of terror continues. Against all odds, he got his second pick. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
I love it so much.
Right during the credits.
He said it would be chronological, and so far it has come true. He is more witch than man.
He knows.
The only other player on the board this episode, Ryan, got up there with Joy to the World, which played.
Hey-o!
And unfortunately, I, who picked my songs, am doing just as well as Adam, who got all the ones that nobody wanted, with 0 songs. So, yeah, I think we can all agree that this is a nightmare. And, well, here's a possible explanation. See, Chad believed in the show. And wanted it to be good and thought it was good. And so this is a form of Christmas magic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Chad Christmas is being rewarded for his loyalty to Hawkeye.
Sure. So are you Are you inferring that Christmas magic is somehow chaotic in some sense and against anyone who doesn't believe in the spirit of the show Hawkeye on Disney Plus?
Possibly. And in a coincidental revelation, I want to say that I love Hawkeye. It's the greatest show of all time, and I hope it gets renewed for a second season.
I see what you've done, James. You're trying to get on the good side of the Christmas witch, and you're too late, James. Both Bruce Springsteen versions of whatever song you chose is never going to happen. Oh. And joy to the world will reign supreme.
Ryan could still pull out a win here. He only needs two more songs, and then Chad needs to not get any more. I need to get three, and neither of you can improve. Not looking good for me and Adam, unfortunately.
I know. I'm still banking on it. It's not going to happen. Like, I'm banking on it.
I mean, if Chad wins, that'll just be the fucking cherry on top of the Hawkeye cake.
Listen, this is just confirmation that Chad went to, instead of reading the Hawkeye comic, mm-hmm. like he said he would, he went to the North Pole, he found an elf, he slit its throat over the North Pole.
Wow.
It trickled down into the North Pole's earth, and he now has some sort of sacred bond with Christmas. And all he said was, may I win the Christmas song bet? And then he's like, sacrifice. Wow, this is a long trip. He made an elf blood sacrifice.
Just as likely as that, Chad somehow knew I was going to propose this and somehow knew the songs that I would choose and then contacted the soundtrack director for Hawkeye, and the fix is in.
He cheated. Yeah, I see that. I think we confront him next episode, and we tell him we know the truth.
What I want Chad to both win the music bet and then never read the comic. Just dunk on us completely.
Two ultimate failures for you.
Yeah, just generally disappointing both us and the audience.
And Adam, I know we've already gotten a big hit here with the music quiz, but another piece of bad news. The word just came in from HBO corporate, HBO boys corporate, our higher ups. And unfortunately, the Cowboy Bebop Watch and Review podcast has been canceled after only a single episode. Which is so heartbreaking because we really wanted to go forward with that. But it's out of our hands. This was a business decision.
It was a business decision. I fully support it.
Explain to me what is going on.
No, I don't.
Right now.
So, James, I was going to pitch something to you, James. What I was going to do is, since we only did episodes 1 and 2, why don't we just finish it, right?
No,
and
that's then a great idea. Watch the whole thing.
And then because it's canceled, only do one follow-up episode. Be like, well, it's canceled, so instead of wasting our time.
The Cowboy Bebop cancellation special.
Exactly.
I will not allow this to be Stargirl Part 2, you son of a bitch.
Oh, boy.
I did 22 episodes of Hunter x Hunter by myself. You will finish this.
That's insane.
You still have another 140 episodes to go. So.
Yeah, I'll get there one day. And then the Arcane podcast at some point.
I would like to do a wrap-up of Cowboy Bebop, even if it's only one more episode. I'll watch through it.
And I'll talk about Arcane. Arcane's the best anime in years.
I haven't.
It really is. Okay. Let's put that on the schedule, the old schedule that we're going to do the Arcane podcast. Anyway, before we go, James, do you have like a short synopsis of your feelings on this episode of Hawkeye that we've been discussing?
It was fine. A lot of the Black Widow girl, her whole thing is she's a weirdo. She says weird things. It kind of got old during the Black Widow movie, and then that carried on to this. But hey, Vincent D'Onofrio was in the credits. Worth it.
A picture of him was seen on a cellular device, so we will get him for the season finale, probably, in some sort of, hopefully, boss fight, where I hope he is in, like, the comics 98% muscle.
Yes.
They kind of did my scene, my Cold Outside scene, but they did it with a different song, unfortunately.
Yeah, which is a bummer because in that occurring, I would have gotten a point on the board, and it doesn't feel like they're going to do the same thing.
No.
But again.
And then, right, so they did my scene. I absolutely called it that the mom was the one who put the hit on him. Everyone said I was wrong. I was right. Right about that.
Nobody said you were wrong.
And everything else. I was like adopting that. I'm like, that would be probably where it should go.
Everybody agreed with you that she was the bad guy. What are you talking
about? No, I was like, she's calling Julia Louis-Dreyfus to put the hit on her. And you guys were like,
oh,
no.
Yeah. Again, we didn't say you were wrong. We were like, oh, really? Cool.
No, I am still going to take this as a W, even though you guys are saying you never disagreed with me. All right. That's not how it played out in my mind. Okay.
Right. On,
it is
right
genuinely on. Recorded audio. You can go listen to it. And right
and
now,
Cowboys versus Aliens, good movie. Okay.
How dare you? How dare you?
Daniel Craig.
No, shut up. On that note, we are going to be ending today's session of Hawkeye 5, The Lion, the Witch, and the Hawkeye. And we will see you here next week for Hawkeye 6, The Two Towers.
I'm Merry Christmas, y'all.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's back. Anyway, thank you, James, for joining us for the best part of the podcast by far.
Yeah.
The new Nothing Star episode, the one that arrived on 12/15, is now up. Please go listen to that and subscribe on the Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcast. This episode was like almost 40 hours of editing.
So fun.
Recorded almost 2 months ago. Just kind of like the thing I've put the most work into in my entire life. So definitely go listen to that. Also, thank you very much to our patrons. You can follow our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ for $1 or more a month. You get, honestly, it's not worth it. You don't get anything. Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Anthony Wells, James Watch My Tongue, Atheist Unstoppable, Chris Wood, Brink Gain, Dale Levin, Westworld, Craig, John Jers, Major Woody, and Carol Andreas. You know what you do get? You get to be on the HBO Boys Discord, which is pretty good. And for a dollar, that's, I think, almost worth it, but we're going to work on it. We're going to add some more stuff in the future to make it feel
pay for the hosting.
Yeah, help me pay for the hosting. That's true. Nope, nobody helps me, and we don't make any money on this podcast. Nobody will be doing this 6 years, not one advertiser. It's going really well. Anyway.
Tell us how you really feel, Ryan.
Hawkeye.